You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
This is The Early Word, brought to you by The Daily Memphian, and I'm Natalie Van Gundy. Good morning, Memphis. It's Tuesday, July 1st, and beginning today, you could face up to 6 months in jail and a fine of $500 for shining a laser pointer into the eyes of someone driving a car, boat, or plane. That and a bunch of more serious state laws go into effect today. Ferris Haley, age 28, has been charged in connection with Sunday's fatal shooting at the Memphis Rocks climbing gym. According to police, two men got into an argument inside the gym and gunshots were fired. Two men, including one Memphis Rocks employee, were killed. Haley was detained on the scene but broke away before the police captured him outside of the gym. The worst part about hosting a game night at your house is cleaning up before and after. But a new Midtown bar takes that part out of the equation. The people behind Memphis Escape Rooms are opening Game Night Lounge soon in the former Barry space. It'll have 10 themed rooms, each equipped with a 70-inch TV screen preloaded with interactive games, and there's a food and drink menu. The Memphis Grizzlies are hiring Coach Penny. No, not that one. The team is bringing on Tennessee State head men's basketball coach Brian Penny Collins as the new player development coach. And turns out Collins already has a history with Grizzlies head coach Thomas Isalo. Now, is this town big enough for two Pennies? Time will tell. Our staff at the Daily Memphian took home a lot of awards from the Tennessee Press Association's 2025 contests, including first place spots for breaking news, best single feature, and best sports writing. Those top wins came from our group coverage of the U.S. Department of Justice's scathing report on discrimination by the Memphis Police Department, Jane Roberts' feature on the longest-serving exoneree in state history, and a whole portfolio of stories from our sports ball guys. See all of the Daily Memphian's TPA awards and more of our high-quality local news stories at dailymemphian.com.
From the concert halls to the juke joints, from churches to festivals in the fields, welcome to another episode of Bill Street Caravan, celebrating the sounds of Memphis for more than 20 years.
Heard around the globe on NPR Worldwide.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Pat Mitchell-Worley.
And I'm Jared J.B. Boyd.
This week on Bill Street Caravan, we have got a true Memphis music legend with us, Reba Russell, joined by her niece, Brittany Russell, as they take the stage together at the Green Room in Crosstown Arts.
Grammy-nominated blues man Guy Davis will be with us to deliver an installment of the Blues Hall of Fame, an exploration of the lives of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame here in Memphis, Tennessee, brought to you by the Blues Foundation.
That's all coming up right now on Bill Street Caravan.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, JB.
This week, I'm really looking forward to what we've got in store. We're welcoming back the incomparable Reba Russell. And this time, she's sharing the stage with her niece, Brittany Russell, at the Green Room in Crosstown Arts.
Now, Reba Russell is a name synonymous with the Memphis music scene. Beginning in the early 80s with bands like Visions, Portrait, Reba and the Portables, and now fronting the Reba Russell Band, Reba has covered just about every base in the music industry, touring around the U.S., Europe, releasing 8 albums independently.
She's also lent her powerful voice to an impressive roster of artists, from U2 to Huey Lewis and the News, Lucero, and many more. Those in the know can pick out her voice from select recordings by these and other star-studded performers.
We dig Reba because her music always feels deeply authentic to her. It's soul, it's rock, and there's even a touch of folk in there. It's hard to put Reba in a box, which is exactly what makes her so captivating.
And speaking of captivating, her niece Brittany brings a fresh, youthful energy that complements Reba's seasoned, soulful sound. Together, they create a dynamic that's just electric on stage.
As much as fans love Reba here in town, she has wowed audiences far and wide, taking that deep Memphis flavor to Europe and beyond. Reba has been recognized by the Blues Foundation with a Coco Taylor Vocal Award nomination. She's been honored with a Bill Street Brass Note and a Brass Star on the Orpheum Halloran Center's Sidewalk of Stars.
She's the type to cut deep into your soul by sharing her personal story through song. And if you're not moved by her emotion, you'll certainly be moving your body.
Yes, indeed. Let's check out Reba and Brittany Russell live at the Green Room in Crosstown Arts, right here on Beale Street Caravan.
Thank you. you so much. So I'd just like to introduce this fabulous band to you. This is Mr. Robert Nighthawk Toombs over here on the keyboard and the harp. Jumpin' James Cunningham on the drums. Wayne Russell on the bass guitar. Fabulous Mr. Jeff Jensen over here on the guitar. Our great niece, this is Miss Brittany Russell, y'all.
Thank you.
Background vocals, Wayne Russell on the background.
That was Reba Russell with special guest Brittany Russell, live on Beale Street Caravan. For more info on Reba, visit RebaRussell.com. We'll be back with more music from Reba in just a bit.
Up next, Grammy-nominated blues man Guy Davis takes us through the life histories of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame. The segment is brought to you by the Blues Foundation and is also available as a standalone podcast through Apple Music.
The Bronze Peacock Nightclub sat way on the outskirts of Houston. An ocean of darkness separated the club from the city lights. Inside, the place glowed. White tablecloths, buffed hardwood, and patent leather shoes. Clarence Brown sat in front of the Bronze Peacock bandstand and wondered, God almighty, what is this guy doing to these people? The people screamed and shouted. Women fell out like funeral mourners. They swung from chandeliers and crashed into walls. This guy was better known as T-Bone Walker. He was the Bronze Peacock personified, a white suit, slick feathers, and sparkling guitar. Clarence stood as T-Bone slipped the guitar behind his head, revving it as he slowly slipped into the splits. T-Bone landed it as he banged the final note. Clarence was a lanky 22-year-old from small town East Texas on a hitchhiking journey around the state trying to find his break in music. Nothing in any roadhouse prepared him for what he was about to see. A storm hit the stage. Coins, bills, entire wallets, and finally ladies' underwear flew at T-Bone Walker. This night in the Bronze Peacock showed Clarence Brown a new path. He grew up in Cajun country, playing parties with his dad's band. Clarence plucked the mandolin, sawed on the violin, and lately had been sitting in on drums. Once the panties stopped flying, he went up to T-Bone, still stunned at the sight of people swinging on chandeliers, and asked, "What make a person do that?" Nothing that went down in the Bronze Peacock escaped the notice of Don Roby, owner of the club and godfather of the Texas Night. He stood beside the bandstand, listening to Clarence and T-Bone. T-Bone kind of laughed Clarence off, said, "You can't make someone throw a wallet with the drums." But T-Bone was just a small-town Texas boy himself. He sympathized. T-Bone had nothing to worry about from Clarence. T-Bone had two new hit records on the jukebox. He started the Rum Boogie Club in Chicago and palled with Joe Louis. As Clarence sat beside the Bronze Peacock's bandstand, night after night studying, T-Bone tolerated him and shared a few scraps, not exactly an apprenticeship, but Clarence picked up E Natural on the guitar, and you'd have thought he'd learned to fly. Soon the spring rain came to Houston, cold and merciless, not enough to chill the Bronze Peacock atmosphere, but its star began to dim. After 8 straight nights singing himself raw, T-Bone came down with something. Clarence saw T-Bone take the stage. He heard the shrieks building to a crescendo, but before the first note, T-Bone set down his big guitar and hurried back to the dressing room. Don Roby's eyes jumped from a packed house to an empty stage. In panic, he grabbed Clarence. "Boy, get up there." It was just the sort of spontaneous combustion that changes the direction of history. Clarence halfway left his body but felt himself walking up the bandstand. He saw T-Bone's axe sparkling on stage. He picked it up. He knew one key, so no decision there. He strapped on the guitar and vamped. He couldn't do this all night, but the crowd cheered him on. They clapped the beat, and the women swung their shoulders, all eyes locked on Clarence. He did the damnedest thing, this kid who'd clearly been picked out of the crowd, stepped to the microphone. He sang. My name is Gatemouth Brown. I just got in your town. The blues give him that line to repeat, which came in quite handy as he stood in front of 500 people making up the song as if his life depended on it. My name is Gatemouth Brown, and I just got in your town. If you don't like my style, I will not hang around. The women went for their purses. The men reached in their pockets, and the crowd rained its approval all over Clarence Gatemouth Brown. Back in the dressing room, T-Bone Walker found his voice. He marched back out on stage, grabbed his guitar from Gatemouth. Look, T-Bone barked, as long as you live and breathe, don't you ever pick on my guitar again. Gatemouth already was squatted down, stuffing his pockets with cash. He looked up, half smiling, and said, I'm sorry, Mr. Bone. I don't know what made me do it. Don Roby reacted much more favorably than T-Bone did to Gatemouth's debut. Roby didn't know music, but he recognized that green paper all over the Bronze Peacock floor. He signed Gatemouth to an exclusive management contract that night and took him to the tailor and the music shop in the morning. They cruised the Third Ward in Don's caddy. Roby tried to make small talk, asking how Gatemouth got music. Well, I wasn't big enough to go in the juke joint, so I would sit across the street and listen to these blues. My mind would leave my body and travel for miles away, he said. But it seemed like to me it would be traveling to the disastrous part of this man's life. And I said, music's got to be a little different than that. That was enough cosmic talk for Don Roby. The next time anyone saw Gatemouth, he'd be sporting a top hat, tails, and a new Gibson. He ran T-Bone right out of town. While Gatemouth headlined a Peacock every night, Roby hit the road to promote his new star. He sold him to nightclubs all the way to New Orleans and returned with a record contract. Gatemouth debuted on Wax the same way he first hit the stage, with a little more practice this time. He named his tune Gatemouth's Boogie. This time, though, no showers of money flooded Gatemouth at the end of the song.
My name is Gatemouth Brown, just got in your town.
He spent the next 2 years traveling along his manager's chain of contacts through Texas and Louisiana dance halls. Roby outfitted a station wagon to carry the band and painted the names of Gatemouth's records on the body. Gate made a name for himself the hard way, doing one-nighters at Club Raven in Beaumont, the White Eagle in Opelousas, Skylark Terrace in Corpus Christi, and the Rose Room in Dallas. He got around the honky-tonks, though he didn't make it back to the recording studio. 2 years in, Gate had two titles painted on the station wagon. Don Roby wasn't a man known to accept reversal of fortune. When he'd finally had enough of nothing from the record company, Roby told his business manager, hell, we don't need them to put out Gatemouth's records. Necessity being the mother of invention, just ask the composer of Gatemouth's Boogie, this challenge led to a huge breakthrough. Naturally, Roby named his new record company Peacock Records. It was the beginning of the most successful black-owned label of the era. There remained just one minor technicality, as Roby's business manager gently asked, well, how do you make a record? Without pause, the Don shot back, hell, I don't know. That's for you to find out. Soon enough, Peacock Records launched with atomic energy, an electrifying Gatemouth instrumental on the backside of the first single. This sounded clearly like an artist traveling beyond the disastrous part of life. The first Peacock Records headquarters was the back room of a liquor store. The company grew so fast, its offices took over the Bronze Peacock and put the nightclub out of business. Peacock Records made some of Little Richard's earliest sides and would bring the world songs like Hound Dog by Big Mama Thornton. Eventually, Don Robey's roster of recording artists included Bobby Blue Bland, Junior Parker, Johnny Ace, and O.V. Wright. It all traced back to the moment Robey pulled Skinny Clarence Brown out of the crowd because T-Bone Walker caught a cold. Gatemouth didn't turn out too shabby himself. After 10 years, he shed Don Robey's top hat and tails. Brown climbed into his own comfortable cowboy boots and grabbed his old violin. With his trademark pipe clenched between his teeth, Gatemouth became an icon of eclectic American styles. He played Cajun fiddle, electric guitar, mandolin, and even went behind the drums in all corners of the world. Along the way, Brown picked up a Grammy and gained recognition from guitarists as far out as Frank Zappa. He lived by the notion that struck him outside a Texas juke joint. Music's got to be a little different.
Listening to the Blues Hall of Fame podcast, brought to you by the Blues Foundation. The Blues Hall of Fame podcast is produced by Beale Street Caravan for the Blues Foundation, written by Preston Lauterbach and voiced by Guy Davis. For more information on the Blues Foundation, go to blues.org. Caravan has brought the sounds of Memphis to public radio airwaves for more than 20 years. And now you can see what we've been talking about. Check out our series of digital shorts through our website or go to ilistentomemphis.com.
I Listen to Memphis is about Memphis music today, the people who make it, and the places and culture that fuel it. ilistentomemphis.com.
Beale Street Caravan is also supported by awards from Memphis Tourism, Tennessee Arts Commission, Arts Memphis, and the Thomas W. Briggs Foundation. TNVacation.com. The soundtrack of America was made in Tennessee. We're back, and if you've just tuned in, we're listening to Reba Russell with special guest Brittany Russell. With more than 30 years in the game, Reba and her band have been reviewed by just about anyone who's covered music in Memphis.
She can do soft music, hard rockin' tunes, acoustic, electric, and we've already mentioned that it's hard to pin her down as far as genres go. It's a mixture of all the elements that make Memphis special.
Borrowing from all sides of Memphis music history, her biggest asset is her knack for witty storytelling. Her songs always leave me with a smirk. Whether with devices that are particularly tongue-in-cheek or some that are pretty in-your-face, she gets across a very cunning spunk that lingers in your mind long after you're done listening.
And what makes this show super special is to have her niece there with her. Now, Brittany Russell is, I remember the first time I saw her, Brittany Russell was one of those people that you saw and you knew no matter what they did in life, music would always be a part of their future. And it's so exciting to me to see them together because really growing up, Brittany always looked up to Reba, and Reba was just a great mentor. One of the best things about Reba Russell is she has always tried to be a mentor to artists as they are coming up in the scene. That's always a mark of an artist who wants to make sure that the music continues, that it's passed on to the next generation. So let's go back and hear more from these two generations on stage at Crosstown Arts. Here's Reba and Brittany Russell live on Beale Street Caravan.
Version of history's the truth. Well, I love a man.
us what the hell we can do.
Excited to be singing by my Aunt Reva and my Uncle Wayne and this amazing band tonight. So thanks, y'all, and thanks for learning some of my songs.
Slick hair, snap back. Brittany Russell.
That was amazing, hon. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my gosh, I'm so proud of you.
This is Thomas Crivens, your producer of Bill Street Caravan, and I have the honor of having in the studio with me today a local legend. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Miss Reba Russell, and we've also got her niece, Miss Brittany Russell.
Hey,
in
everyone.
Studio. Thanks so much for coming in today.
I'm just pleased as punch to be here.
What's changed in your artistry from 30 plus years ago, the Reba Russell artist that was presenting herself, versus today that we've got the Reba Russell band and this kind of well-oiled
machine? Well, I will
machine.
Say this, you know, Memphis turned me into a musician. Mm. I mean, I was not a musician when I moved here. It took about 10 years and I moved here in about 74, and by 84, I was in the mix. Yeah. The thing that has changed, I think, is that I got more familiar with roots music, and I got to meet people in roots music over time. And as that happened, I was already sort of a renegade, but I think I really started feeling like I could just be myself. And so now I'm super independent and do as kind of just do whatever I want to do. And I think my writing, I stopped thinking about so much about a certain audience when I write songs. You know, I just really say what I want to say now. But in general, I'm still sort of the wildcat walking on the fringe instead of right in the center of the music scene or blues scene, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. I'm like the stepchild. That's sort of what I feel like sometimes because I didn't come from these roots. I moved here and sort of adopted it. You know, when I got here, music was everywhere and it was, yeah, the best thing ever. And I actually, you know, Brittany is a Russell. I'm married into the Russell family, mm-hmm, but my husband is the bass player in my band and has, yeah, been for years, Wayne. And Brittany's family, Wayne's family, they have been musicians in Mississippi for generations. Yeah, yeah. So when she was little, she came to our gigs and heard us playing. And by the time she was, you know, eight, she had a band of her own and was playing music here. So Memphis sort of did the same thing for her, even though she had easy access, sort of, because, you know, we were popular around town and stuff like that.
Well, and that's a perfect segue to Miss Brittany. And that's a question I also want to ask you. Reba, your aunt, she gives Memphis the credit which Memphis to get, but I want to ask a deeper question. What was Reba's influence on you as a little girl before you, I'm sure you weren't going to clubs and going to shows a lot, but you were seeing your own family kind of being a rock star almost. How did that affect you as a little girl, and how has that shaped who you are as an artist today?
That's a great question. It was amazing. And actually, I was going to see her in the bars and clubs.
Oh, like, there, well, there they we would, go.
They would her let me come in and join because they knew that it was my Aunt Becky. And every weekend, it felt like we would go and see my Aunt Reba perform, whether it was like Huey's, Neil's, the Shell. And it was the most exciting part of my week. And I just remember looking at her with stars in my eyes and just saw how powerful she was. And just like with her voice and with her attitude. And one day I was sitting there, a little girl, and I was like, I want to do that. I want to do what my Aunt Becky does and be on that other side of the stage. And so she was really my mentor. You know, I created a family band. So my Uncle Wayne was also my bass player. Kind of took him, and my dad was a guitar player, and my brother played the drums. But my Aunt Becky would let me open up for her at Neil's at 8 years old, and we would do like two songs, and it changed my life. It just gave me confidence. Being by her side just really helps me grow. Watching her, you know, every week made me grow as an artist, a musician, and still to this day, she's my biggest mentor, and I learn something every single time I'm around her. And so really, it was an amazing experience getting to come alongside her. And I'm just really grateful that she allowed me that experience and gave me some of those opportunities, because she really did help out. And having her encouragement, I think, really, you know, made me who I am today as a musician.
Wonderful. It's a beautiful answer, and I'm sure that warmed Reba up as much as it really. I almost shed a tear myself thinking about my own kids, and I hope they come up and say the same. But no, that's amazing. So I'm going to ask you kind of a twofold artistry question. You're performing along with your aunt in the Reba Russell Band featuring Brittany Russell on occasion. That's actually why we're here today. Mm-hmm. But I also know you're your own artist as well. So can you talk about what it's like? I mean, you just spoke so eloquently about witnessing Reba Russell as a little girl and being so in awe and how it motivated you. But then you fast forward and y'all are sharing those same stages that you used to see and watch from the audience. How does that feel? And what is it that you bring to the Reba Russell Band that we know and love?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Yeah, you got to toot your own horn in here now.
I mean, it's, like I said, it just feels a little unreal getting to be surrounded by amazing musicians, Memphis musicians. I mean, there's really nothing like Memphis music, Memphis musicians. There's just a soul there that you really can't find in many places. So being surrounded by the band and see the musicianship and be, again, like surrounded by that is incredible. And I mean, really nobody does it like my Aunt Becky. It's like, she gets up there and she opens her mouth and it is power. And so a lot of people will come out and tell me like, oh, you sound like your Aunt Becky. I'm like, yeah, I've been trying to. I've been watching her. I've been trying to be in lockstep with her and not mimic it, but I just am so in awe of it that it's just something that I've wanted to be a part of my story as well. And so hopefully one day, you know, I can do the same for, you know, younger women and be able to kind of pass that torch of, you know, really inspiring and lifting them up to be able to get on a stage and sing their heart out and not be ashamed of their story that they have to tell. And, you know, I love what my Aunt Becky said at the beginning of the interview. You know, she's writing songs now that she doesn't really care about the audience. It's coming, you know, from the heart. It's what she wants to say. And I'm still learning that as we speak. So, you know, just as I continue on, keep learning from Aunt Becky, I hope that I can pass that on to others as well with my own music. And something that, you know, I think I bring to the stage is hopefully that inspiration.
We thank Reba and Brittany Russell for coming to Bill Street Caravan office today and sitting with us.
Thank
you so much. Can't wait to check you guys' show out. See you guys later.
Here's more from Reba Russell live on Bill Street Caravan.
Me and Brick are going to do this, try this little thing out on you, and it might run y'all off. Okay, I think that's a B.
Oh, all the money that e'er I spent it in good company. And all the harm that e'er I've done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I've had for want of wit to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. All the comrades that e'er I've had are sorry for my going away, and all the sweethearts that e'er I had would wish me one more day to stay. But since it falls unto softly call good night and joy be with you all. Good night and joy be with you
so much for coming to the green room. Thank you so much, Kevin Houston. We appreciate all of y'all very much. Thank you.
That was Reba Russell with special guest Brittany Russell, live on Bill Street Caravan. For more of their music, visit RebaRussell.com and look for Brittany on all social media and streaming sites.